Grace is yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ by the power of His Holy Spirit, who ministers to us today and draws us ever closer to the truth that is found in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. We were chatting before worship this evening, and Lent. You often hear people give something up for Lent, and as someone was chatting, well, maybe we should not give up something. Maybe we should actually add something. If you take something away, maybe you should add something. Like if you take away time on social media, maybe you should add, use that time for scripture reading. Use that time for prayer. Use that time for face-to-face conversation about, witnessing to someone. I think it's a great idea. When I was a couple years ago, I gave up coffee for Lent, and I was in the parish at the time, serving a large congregation, and my secretary or my office manager, Frida, said to my wife later on, about 4 weeks into this, she said, "Don't ever let him do that again." Because my Christian witness just took a nosedive with no caffeine. I don't know if it was a direct correlation. I'm just saying I was kind of grouchy, okay? So maybe it's not always the best thing to just, quote, give up. On the other hand, when we give up something, it reminds us that we kind of live life habitually. We kind of live like on automatic pilot. And Lent is a great time to recognize that some areas of our life we need to stop and take stock, and we need, in many times, the Spirit's going to confront us and say we need to repent. And so I want to talk about, take a pause to repent, because you're going to be talking about that theme of turning, right, in these coming weeks on Wednesdays, that idea of turning, and the great turning, and really that's, in one respect, very much what repentance is all about. Repentance is turning. It's going in one direction and you're directed to go another. The call to repentance. I want to encourage you tonight, as a topical sermon, three vital areas of turning. The first area might be repent or turn. You are traveling in the wrong direction. You're traveling in the wrong direction. So I'm guessing this is north, is that right? Don't mess with me, Bob. Okay, so I'm going north, okay, and I repent of going north. What direction am I going to go? You're going the wrong way. I'm going to go south. It's a complete turnaround, right? That's repentance, is to turn around. You're going the wrong direction. If you've got one of those little phones, or if you have a navigation system in your car, and you take a turn, it says what? Recalculating if you're following, because you have not obeyed what it's supposed to do, what you're supposed to do. So recalculating. I got recalculated a few times coming here this evening with various accidents along the way. And so I got recalculated. And I have a little Aussie voice in here, this little Aussie girl that says, recalculating, and it's just, I should give her a name. Recalculating, you're going the wrong way. The wrong way. We live in a world that invites us to go in lots of different ways. We live in what we call a pluralistic society. We're to be very, what's the word? To be tolerant of others. And yet it would appear that the only person you don't need to be tolerant of is one who confesses the name of Jesus Christ and seeks to follow them. At least in our public setting sometimes. We're invited to be those that are calling on the Lord Jesus Christ and resistant to the path of least resistance. Water goes in the path of least resistance. That's why there, if you go to any city that has a river going through it, such as Ann Arbor, there are almost no straight streets. or they dead end places where they're not, you know, I think I'm going to go from A to B, and it doesn't go to B. It just goes to A. Okay? And it's because there's the Huron River that just kind of makes its way through. And you, if you go to the east side of the state where the, you know, the Rouge River, or if you go to where the Clinton River up in Macomb area, anywhere there's a river, you're going to have some crooked streets because the river, the water, follows a flow of least resistance. The path of least resistance makes one crooked, makes one crooked. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each of us is what? You know, gone his own way. And God's word comes to us and it says, repent, you're traveling in the wrong direction. You're traveling away from me. You're traveling away from my purpose for you. You're traveling away from the God who created you. You're traveling away from my best. You're traveling away from obedience. Repent and come back. You're going away. Jesus is the GPS, God's perfect salvation. God's perfect salvation. And so as we gather in the house of God tonight and we spend time in repentance and prayer and reflection on the Word of God, Jesus is God's perfect salvation. On January 30th, 1973, Patrice Tamao of Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, allowed himself to be nailed to a cross as a sacrifice for world peace and understanding among men, end quote. As thousands watched on TV, 6-inch stainless steel nails were driven through his hands and feet. Tamao had planned to remain on the cross for 48 hours, but after only 20 hours, he had to cut short his voluntary crucifixion because of an infection in his right foot. The newspaper article had as its heading, Crucifixion for Peace Falls Short. Crucifixion for Peace Falls Short. And that would be true for any substitutionary crucifixion except for the person of Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, who offers the perfect sacrifice. It's John the Baptizer pointing to him and saying, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He offers the perfect sacrifice. He who was without sin became sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God. So not only do we repent in that you're traveling in the wrong direction, repent because you're ignoring the truth. You're ignoring the truth. There's a lie of personal and political sovereignty, that we can somehow be sovereign, that we have autonomy as individuals. I can make my own decisions. And those of you who are old enough, there's a song, I did it my way. And I'm sorry, your way ends in destruction. Have I told this story about a funeral? I had a funeral. And they sang, I had hymns picked out, Amazing Grace. And I was at the funeral home, and the family trumped me. And they had the funeral home play Blue Eyes, I Did It My Way. And so I went from giving a, opening my message with, I don't even remember what I planned to open. I opened up with, there's a way which seems right to a man, but it ends in destruction. It's ignoring the truth. We can be duped by the lies, the lie of our self-made gods. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, did God really say, the serpent asked them? Jesus is God's truth with flesh on. He is the Word of God made flesh. And thirdly, repent. Turn, you're embracing death instead of life. You're embracing death instead of life. Those things that you thought would give you life are actually bringing you death. You're going to hear the message on Easter, and I encourage you to come. And I may not be giving the message, but this is the message of the angel in the garden of the empty tomb. He asked the ladies this, "Why are you seeking the living one among dead things?" That's the translation. Why are you seeking the living one among dead things? Life is wrapped up in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He says in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I came that they might have life and have it to the full." So as we walk through these weeks of Lent, let's pause. Take a deep breath. Let it out. And ask the Holy Spirit to direct our hearts in what we need to turn from, to repent, to turn, because you're traveling in the wrong direction, away from God and not toward Him and His Word. Repent because you're ignoring the truth and you're living out the lies, you're believing the lies of this world, that you somehow have control of your own destiny, that you are sovereign, and it's really God. Repent because you're embracing death instead of life. It's only in Jesus Christ that we have life. And that's what Paul is talking about when he says, "He made Him who knew no sin to become a sin offering for us, in order that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Amen? Amen. Please stand as we pray. Almighty God, as we've already confessed our sins, we ask that not only we ask for forgiveness, but we ask, Holy Spirit, that You would turn our hearts, that You would change our minds, that You would cause us to turn because we've been going away from You. Help us by Your Spirit to turn toward You and to lean into our relationship with You. For You've certainly leaned into Your relationship with us. You've taken on flesh. You have come to deliver us. You've rended the heavens apart, and You've come down that we might be delivered. Help us, gracious God, to repent, to turn away from sin, those things that separate us from You, those things that confuse us and keep us from a clear understanding and love for Your Word. Help us, Father, not live the lie that's in the world. And bring our own agenda into Your Scriptures. But let Your Scripture, Your Word, Your Spirit direct our agenda and adjust it. Help us to walk in truth. So these weeks of Lent, Holy Spirit, we give to You again. And ask that You'd mold and shape us in the person and work of Your Son, Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Barbara, yet